follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome into the program. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, as we are live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Mitch Moss, along with Pauly Howard, here early on a Monday morning, and we talk about sports from a betting perspective for 3 hours each and every single day, Pauly. And today is a big, big show here for this program, as it's our debut in the great city of Los Angeles. How cool is that, man? Huh?
I knew I'd make it.
One day, huh?
I knew I'd go Hollywood.
Back in St. Cloud, Minnesota days, many, many, many years ago.
That's right. Uh-huh. We love you, Los Angeles. We love you, Southern California. How many people know this? Las Vegas is a huge Laker town. Enormous Laker town. And hello, London, West Hollywood, and Boa Steakhouse. Best king crab I've ever had.
It is, it's LA East.
Yes.
Las Vegas has been
before
I think we were alive, actually.
Yes.
So why don't we begin with the two teams in the NFL that play in the city of Los Angeles yesterday. And both offenses were sparkling. Both teams came out victorious yesterday. And we can begin with the early game. As how about that? The Chargers now dropped the Chiefs to 1-2 and in last place in the AFC West. They created 4 turnovers, which obviously was huge because they were not stopping that Chiefs offense. They did pretty much whatever they wanted again yesterday. More than 400 yards of offense. They did not turn the ball over themselves. And Justin Herbert was the absolute man. He had 4 touchdowns. And they knew, right? They knew that they had matchup nightmares for KC on the outside with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, who was an absolute beast yesterday for those 2 touchdowns.
Yep. Chiefs kept turning the ball over in the first half. The Chiefs' defense continues to be a big problem. They're also under 500 for the first time since week 11 in 2015. Reed goes to an ambulance to the hospital after the game. You're right. They're last place, and they lose back-to-back games. And the Chargers tried to make it interesting. I mean, they should have won that game, but the fiasco there on the final drive, it worked out. But you're going to pass on the field goal, then it's 4th and 4. They get the penalty. They go for it. They get the first down. And then why? Well, if you don't want to give Mahomes the ball back with that much time, why don't you just run it down and kick the game-winning field goal, right?
There
was a lot to it about what happened. I thought they scored too early, but still, they hang on and get the win. But there was a lot to dissect there. And I'll tell you, Romo was all over it, saying, I'd go for it, Jim. On 4th and 4, he wanted to go for it.
He did.
Yes.
And so a lot to it for sure. I mean, I think when a majority of people were watching the game yesterday, they're thinking, Staley, what is wrong with you? Why are you not going to kick the field goal, bleed the clock, and then go out there with your special teams unit to end the game? Well, he said yesterday, after the game, and I listened to his entire press conference, he said that he could not, it was choppy out there. The wind was choppy the way it was cutting across the field, and it was a tough day for both kickers. He did not want that result. He did not want to give, you know, Mahomes the ball back only up by 3 if he couldn't. And then he said, quite frankly, I wanted the ball in Mahomes' hands, or, I'm sorry, in Herbert's hands at the end of the game because they couldn't stop him. And he said Mike Williams was pretty much the best player on the field with Herbert yesterday.
The touchdown was supposed to be a run. He audibled.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how about that? When during the game's unfolding, he could recognize from the sideline and say, you know what? They have no solution for Mike Williams out there. I'm going to take my chances and I'll give the ball back to Mahomes. Fine, if he's going to get the ball back, that's okay, but we have to have a touchdown lead. I would say this, though. When you go up by 6 and there's that much time left, and if you don't trust your kicker, it was a rough day yesterday for kickers in the NFL. Nothing is guaranteed from 33 yards out on an extra point. Would you consider going for 2?
Do the Vrabel move. Absolutely.
Right? I don't mind that whatsoever.
It was great. They were up 7. He went for 2. Put
I love
it on
that
9.
Play.
That's
yeah.
right. I would have gone for 2 as well. But that's a huge win. But the Chiefs have issues. And that Monday night game coming up is enormous in Los Angeles.
Yep.
With the Chargers at home against the Raiders. As the Raiders pull one out in overtime too. But this is great. You have Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Seattle, and Indy. All playoff teams from last year. 3 of them won their divisions. They're all in last place.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you make about KC, though, at this point, other than their defense being really, really bad?
Well, it's cause for concern. I mean, they just should be 0-3. They were down 12 at halftime of the Week 1 game against the Browns, and that was more on what Cleveland making mistakes than Kansas City coming back, although Mahomes is like 10-9 straight up, down double digits in his career, and he almost pulled a rabbit out of his hat again on Sunday. But this defense is terrible.
I could actually,
it's a turnstile.
It really is. So I could actually argue they could be 3-0. Because they blew the Ravens game,
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm still mad that Reed decided to hand off to Helaire instead of keep the ball in Mahomes' hands, and then he fumbled and they gave the game away. And then yesterday, I mean, four turnovers, and how many of those were deep inside L.A. territory?
Yeah.
I mean, so, and the INTs they created yesterday were huge. The athleticism on that side of the ball for the Chargers through the roof. But give them credit, obviously. They won that game. Rookie head coach, second-year quarterback, and at 2-1, they have talent galore. And that was another nice win for that team yesterday. And then the other game in Los Angeles, as Stafford and company, you know, look, I mean, give him credit, going up against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, the champs, and that number, that point spread was all over, you know, very close to the money line, so it doesn't really usually matter. It's not that big of a difference, whether it's a pick 'em or one way or the other, because of the landing spots so rarely end up at that, you know, a one-point game or whatever. But the Tampa Bay defense was decimated, and Stafford made all the right throws. I mean, everybody was wide open for him yesterday, but, you know, I mean, McVay put his players in position by calling the plays that were appropriate at the time. Guys got open, and Stafford hit his receivers, and that was the end of the ballgame.
Guys falling down, too. My God, the yep. Jackson touchdown. And so he's right there, I'd say, for MVP with Carr. Stafford's putting up big numbers, and that's another huge game. The late games are fantastic Sunday. They welcome Arizona to town, and Arizona's played 10 straight unders on the road, as you pointed out on Friday. So Tommy had a big day, but it was a huge win for the Rams. But this is another thing we've talked about. You can throw all day on that Tampa defense.
Oh, yeah, you can.
I mean, it's something we discussed Friday. Goff lit them up last year in the road win as they won 27-24. But what happened in that game? They had no answer for Cup. They had no answer. No one has an answer for Cup. Nope. It's a beast.
And by the way, again, for McVay and Stafford to recognize that Stafford missed DeSean Jackson a couple of times deep,
yes,
but they kept going back to it, good for them, because they knew, again, the secondary has so many injuries and it's so bad right now for Tampa Bay that he was going to just, let's keep taking shots. It's there. We're going to connect on one of these bombs eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And they did on that 75-yard touchdown strike, and they did it again later on in the game. But wide open. That reminded me of some of those Peyton Manning games in the playoffs when he would take on weaker AFC opponents. There was a year, I think, in the early to mid-2000s where they went to Arrowhead, and the Chiefs' defense was really bad that year. Guys were wide open by 5 yards every time Manning dropped back to pass. That was almost like yesterday, but again, Stafford was the man. 27 of 38, four touchdowns, as you said, probably should be the front runner right now, along with Derek Carr and maybe a couple of other guys for the MVP.
A lot of things to fix with the Kansas City and Tampa defense.
Oh, for sure.
Tampa will get it corrected, but I don't know about Kansas City. And then Tommy's got the big game going to New England on Sunday night. And the Sunday night game, my God, what a fantastic game. And you just think Green Bay's going to blow out the 49ers. They come all the way back, and that's another. It's like the Charger game, right? How much time do you want to leave the stud quarterback? And it worked out for Green Bay. I mean, if they tackle the guy down inside the 2-yard line, the 49ers are going to be okay. But you think, okay, no timeouts, 37 seconds. We got this. Nope. 27 yards to Adams, 15 yards to Adams, bam, game-winning field goal. That's the other thing. And I know the extra points have become a fiasco, but these kickers are so good. Tucker from 66, count it. Crosby from 51, no problem. I mean, but do you think you get – that was also the story of yesterday, where you have 37 seconds, no timeouts, no problem for Rodgers. You have 4th-and-19 for the Ravens. They get it, and Tucker hits from 66.
Guys wide open.
And then in the Raider game, Miami's got 4th-and-20, and they pick it up. You have to blitz and send everybody. You can't let the guys drop back, rush 3, can have a snack and pick you apart.
Right.
I mean, you just got to send the house. And make. You can't just sit back on 4th-and-19, 4th-and-20, or, I mean, Rodgers, it was a hell of a throw, but how he fit in there to Adams to start the drive and put him near midfield.
See, I'm okay with what the Niners did by scoring to take a one-point lead with 37 seconds left. I'm okay with that because you had to get it in the end zone. And by the way, that was no guarantee with that offense last night, the way that they were operating. And, I mean, let's be honest here, Paulie. You got to love your chances when you take the lead. The other team has 37 seconds left and no timeouts. Now, the first play on that drive, the pass was an A-plus from Rodgers to Adams. You cannot beat that pass. Over the defender's head and his fingertips, completed it beautifully, right? On the second pass to Adams, where's the overall coverage by the 49ers?
I don't know what that was.
How is that possible? Wide open down the field.
Where do you think the ball's going? Yes. Sorry. Yeah. Where do you think the ball's going?
What did he have, like 15, 16 targets yesterday?
Yeah. Here in Las Vegas, someone had $330,000 on 49ers money line. Oh, you think you're out of it?
Well,
17-0. You come all the way back. Yes. Right.
And I would, you know, the way that they were mixing in, and they brought the rookie in Trey Lance a couple of times last night, you know, to get that first touchdown for the game, They had their problems once they got into the red zone a little bit and near the goal line. They were, you know, it wasn't exactly like they were clicking on all cylinders. But overall, Jimmy G again, not bad. I'm not going to kill the guy.
That's good.
He's a solid quarterback.
Too many people were all over him at the Super Bowl loss.
Yep.
I mean, it was get a stop on third and long and you win the Super Bowl. I don't think it was all him.
I will say this, by the way.
I can't believe Adams was in the game. I thought he was concussed. There was no flag.
He said that he was having a tougher time breathing than anything else. And then they, you know, boy, we don't need enough of the close-ups when a guy might be concussed. They're zooming in. Hey, let's get a shot of his eyeballs. I mean, they're rolling back in his head. They're all,
glazed, yeah.
Yeah, right. Just like, okay, dial it back a little bit. But they had no answer for him whatsoever. And this could actually be a scary thing for teams in the NFC moving forward. Think about how many guys are banged up or missing games right now for Green Bay. Week one, throw it out. It means nothing. And, you know, Rodgers quickly pointed that out in the postgame last night. He goes, it was an anomaly. I said it after we got beat. They always have a game like that in the regular season.
True.
Maybe a game or two.
Yeah.
And now defensive injuries, offensive line issues. You know, it's a patchwork for this team so far. And 2-1 with two nice wins now. And that one from last night. The first hour of Follow the Money is presented exclusively by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at BetRivers.com. Up next, that's 9 straight primetime wins now for Aaron Rodgers.
Oh.
9 straight, second most out of any quarterback last 10 years. Up next, we'll discuss one of the wildest finishes you're ever going to see. The point spread may not have been in question, but teasers, moneyline, parlay, survivor pool certainly were. We'll explain all of this coming up next.
Bet Rivers Sportsbook app has a huge number of live streaming events every day. Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Follow the Money on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Bet Rivers Sportsbook, the industry leader when it comes to online sports betting. Same game parlays in all NFL games, and they're bringing back their Reduce the Juice promotion on game days. And they have the $1 million Beat the Spread Challenge. Thousands of dollars given away each week. Pro football betting more rewarding at BetRivers. Download the app or go to BetRivers.com to bet Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. It's PlaySugarHouse.com in Jersey. And you got to be 21.
Paulie, was that the most Detroit Lions way to ever lose a football game yesterday?
Absolutely.
Has to be, right? To give that game away, you pointed this out in the first segment, how they allowed the receiver to get open on 4th and 19.
What are you doing?
By the way, how are you not,
God,
right? When there's a timeout before the play, you need to be discussing that with your defensive coordinator.
They gave it to him.
Campbell's giving an earful to the refs.
They just backed off.
Yes, right.
Watkins for like 36 yards.
Yeah, we're going to play it real soft right now.
Come on.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to run back like 30 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, and all that area that you need to pick up the first down, it's kind of going to be open to the left if you want to throw it over there. So go ahead, take your chances if you would like. But that was just for that to happen. And then I know there's a big controversy with the play clock.
Sure.
Because when you're watching that at home, and it's very easy just to pause the TV, right, and see that zero land up on the play clock right there in the bottom of the screen, and then they haven't hiked the ball yet, and you can count like 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi. Okay, now there's the snap. Well, a lot of times the play clock inside the stadium, that's not exactly synced up with what you're looking at on the TV at home. But
It was two seconds. Yeah. It's on zero.
Exactly. I doubt that it's off by that much inside the stadium.
And then the NFL record, of course. The 4th and 19 with the NFL record. And it just gets over off the doink, and he makes it. And he really got into it, too. So he's hit from, what, 61 and 66 in that? In that stadium?
Tucker has beaten the Lions with 61 and 66-yard field goals in his last two games in Detroit.
I saw the press conference. I'm looking at the property here. I mean, of course he loves it. Oh, and poor Detroit. And you're right. Your tease, it was enormous for everything. Teasers, money lines, and huge for survivors. Well, you think, Detroit's got issues. They're not going to win this game. And they come all the way back. I mean, that's 10-0. They can't do anything. And the Ravens had a chance to put them away. And then Detroit takes the lead. Good job by Goff. But the 4th and 19. I mean, again, it's all about scheme, too. It's like the Raider game with Brissett finding a guy open on 4th and 20. It shouldn't be that easy. It keeps happening every week.
So the teasers again yesterday with this game in particular, Like for people who do two-team six-point teasers, that landed on two. But if you were betting six-and-a-half-point teasers, or actually I think if you bet at different times during the week, you could have gotten the Ravens down to 1.5, and then the teasers were going to be good. And teasers are pretty much my favorite way to bet the NFL. It's very popular, has been for a long time. When you tease 6 points, and then you can tie it together with a couple of other, a two-team teaser, very popular. And moneyline parlays as well, where people just bet teams to win. That was a very popular leg as well. And just yesterday, going into the weekend, Paulie, we explained that it was, you know, going to be a teaser's delight on Sunday if everything came
That's
through.
That's right.
Well, the one team that screwed it up, the Chiefs.
That's right. Right. They got me.
Yeah. Down to like a one or a half a point teaser.
They got me good.
Yeah.
Yep. Because everything else got there.
I did well with teasers this week. Again, I stayed away from that game. I stayed away from the Ravens game, and I stayed away from the Bills. But everything else got there.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else was good.
Yes. That's a big story that was going in. The teasers, who would screw up the teasers, and also we had all these issues with the quarterbacks of who was hurt and banged up, and all these playoff teams that are sitting in last place, and the surprises there, and these rookie quarterbacks. I mean, you want to get these guys in early, but this is definitely something to follow, as we touched on Friday, but it just got worse. Rookie quarterbacks now, you got the stat on overall, but Sunday, rookie quarterbacks went 0-4. They lost by 12, 15, 20, and 26 points. They combined for 4 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. They were sacked 19 times and had a combined passer rating of 43. And Lawrence is going to set the record for rookies. He's good for 2 picks a week.
Yes.
Wilson had a couple more picks. Lawrence had some picks. And then you had the Fields abomination, where Tucker's field goal was 15 yards longer than the Bears' offense, whatever.
Yep.
Crazy tweet, something like that. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And then Jimmy Graham goes to Twitter and is like, we averaged 1 yard per play. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure.
That's what we did.
I mean, Tucker's field goal was 19 yards longer than the Bears' offense gained. I mean, come on.
Yep. So overall on the season now with all these rookie quarterbacks, they are 1-10 straight up and ATS. And the only win or cover came when Mac Jones and the Patriots played another rookie quarterback, Zach Wilson and the Jets.
Yeah, all right, throw it out, yeah.
And so, look, I mean, we can all agree that Andy Dalton is just, he's not the answer. I mean, he had a decent run early on with the Bengals. He's not going to be the guy for the Bears. We know that Justin Fields, his turn's going to come. But a message to everybody who was pounding the drum during the preseason the entire time, you got to get Fields out there. And look, I would agree with that.
It was a Trey Lance crowd, too.
There was a big-time Trey Lance.
The guy
Lance.
Made
yes,
one play.
Absolutely.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, sure. Look at this guy. He's going to win the MVP.
Well, to tie everything together, you're right. It's not the Bears. It's not the personnel. It's Nagy.
It's Pittsburgh. That's the problem.
It's not the Steelers' offensive line. It's Roethlisberger. It's not the Colts or Eagles' offensive line. It's Wentz. Get rid of the ball. Okay, get rid of the ball.
Right,
but this is Nagy with this vanilla. I don't know what they're running anymore. This guy who was creative in Kansas City and had some imagination is two scoop Mr. Vanilla now.
Right,
what he's doing. I mean, there's no creativity or imagination with the Chicago offense, I can't watch.
And I'm telling you, when Dalton was struggling in the first couple of games, for football people, right, who are considered like good at what they do, analyst, analytic crowd, whatever, just to sit there and say this would never ever happen with Justin Fields. Okay, it happened yesterday, and it was 10 times worse than anything with Andy Dalton earlier in the season. So just, it's a struggle a lot of times for rookie quarterbacks. Wow. And to go back and think that Justin, and look, I mean, I said this in August. I continue to say it throughout, until yesterday. Fields had a couple of nice moments in the preseason where it's like, uh-oh, this is going to be something to get really excited about. He also had a lot of moments in the preseason where it's like, okay, it's going to be a learning curve here, and it's going to be a struggle.
I was in that crowd. I mean, I thought if you're going to run this 5-yard dump-off stuff in short routes with Robinson, you might as well put him in there. I didn't expect that. The other thing, can you block somebody? I mean, does he have time to throw?
Well, that's...
Put someone on Garrett. Double team him, please.
Sure. But again, not every rookie quarterback was created equal. So to go out there and expect all of these 21, 22-year-old kids to go out and beat Joe Montana right away, it's completely unfair.
Yeah.
And now, we have... And Mac Jones was not good yesterday. So we have all of these rookie quarterbacks from the first round who don't, quite frankly, they don't look good right now.
Well, yeah, I know, but it's Mac Jones, and it's way drop off. I mean, big time drop off. The Lawrence pick 6 was a horrendous throw.
Well,
the Jets have a ton of issues. They're not helping out Wilson.
No, not at all. Not at all.
what Fields did. I know. You can't put the pick six on Jones. That's bad luck, but still. It's Jones is head and shoulders above these other guys.
I would also say the play call from Urban Meyer in the offense to call a flea flicker when Lawrence is back at his own 15-yard line, but then for him to throw the football, I mean, come on. That cannot happen. You put him in a bad spot, but then he's going to throw from the back foot. You know, it's a lot, and they will get better. And you will hear a lot of, you know, hot takes this week, I'm sure. These guys suck. What an overrated draft class. They can never play. It's three games into the rookie season. A handful, you know, there's like five guys. Two or three of them are going to turn out to just be okay. You know, they're going to be fine.
Well, that's an excellent point, though. It's 50-50, these guys.
No, it is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
number
sure.
one overall pick, number two overall pick. It's 50-50 if they make it or turn out to be any good.
Yep.
The other thing is Herbert was the fluke. Well, most of these guys come in and struggle. What Herbert did last year is not supposed to happen.
Oh, he's the man.
Absolutely.
He's so good. Back to the Steelers for a second. It's only three games in.
I'm ready to give up.
But if I could have something back, all summer long, I told myself that my two favorite alternate win totals, meaning that, you know, the regular season win total for the Steelers was 8.5. You can bet alternate win totals like under 7.5, under 6.5. My favorite two teams were Jacksonville and Pittsburgh, and I laid off on the Steelers after doing a lot of listening and just changing my opinion on it. Three games in, they can still win 9-10 games, but I don't think they're going to.
Harris,
I think there's a 6 or 7 win football team.
Harris had 19 targets.
Yeah.
What are they doing? Did you see the 4th and 10 play? They're still in the game. They're down 2 scores late. It's 4th and 10. Ben just drops it off for 2 yards.
Mm-hmm.
There's 3 Bengals standing there.
Huh?
I mean, Cincinnati had won 1 road game since October of 2018. And yes. Definitely Pittsburgh's the worst team in that division.
Oh, that was
and
ugly.
I know, but the all 5 linemen were flagged. 2 guys left early. Watts injured. Other injuries on the defense. Chase is a problem. But this offense had been... oh, Ben, so bad. I mean, sometimes it just happens, and overnight it's like Ben Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning, Matt Ryan. It just... it's over.
Drew Brees.
Like that. Drew Brees is another one. Yep. I mean, come on, Ben. He can't throw the ball down the field.
No.
Everything's a dink and dunk. And to target Harris 19 times, and I would have 14 catches.
That should pretty much tell you all you need to know, right? With the offense and what his arm strength is like right now. So that is how they beat the Bills in week 1.
No kidding.
All right, up next, the good, the bad, and the ugly from the betting weekend. An NFL coach did something yesterday that I've been begging to see in this league. We don't get it very often, but I'll tell you why I like it and why I think it makes some sense coming up next.
VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSEN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages of every game, plus full access to VSEN.com, the data and analysis up there. You get everything VSEN has to offer for only $22 a month. Sign up now at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. All right, the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend in football. I'll start in the NFL yesterday. I love what happened in the Titans game against the Colts at home. Now, here's the situation. Tennessee scored a touchdown to make it 20-13. So what did Mike Vrabel do at that point? He did not send out the kicker. He decided to go for 2 to try to make it a 9-point game. And I'm not saying this, Paulie, based on the result, based on the fact that they converted the 2-point conversion to go up by 9. I'm saying this because I've been pounding the table for probably more than 5 years for coaches to do this in the NFL. I'm all for teams going for 2 anyway, pretty much as often as they would like. But the thought is here that if you score it and you convert to go up by 9, obviously a two-possession game. But even if you miss, then the team, the ball is in their court if they score a touchdown. How often will that team go for 2 in the win? And if they do, then they have to convert a 50-50 shot at a 2-point conversion. And a lot of times they'll settle for the extra point anyway in the tie game. I like the move. It should happen more often in the NFL.
Good move.
Yep. Nice bounce back for the Saints. The Pats could do nothing in that game. It was a rough look in some spots for Mac Jones. I thought he was still okay. He did not have a lot of help from his teammates yesterday, including that drop that resulted in the pick six. But the Saints yesterday, that defense, man, were they good. Matthew Stafford, give him credit. Also McVay, great play calling against a depleted defense. Now do it again when Tampa's secondary is healthy. And don't look now, but Kirk Cousins' game log is awesome. 351 yards, two touchdowns, 244 and three, 323 and three scores yesterday, zero INTs on the year.
The Seattle defense.
Again. Boy, are they bad.
Oh, that's 17-7 in the second quarter.
Uh-huh.
Seattle.
Yep. And the Vikings killed him after that. Josh Allen looked good for the first time this season, in my opinion. Five overall touchdowns, which leads me to the bad, and that is this Washington defensive unit.
Oh, I got it too, man. I wrote it down as well.
Yep. 300-plus yards by Buffalo in the first half. Not only is the unit overrated, but they're simply bad. 481 yards, 29 first downs. Buffalo was 9 of 15 on third downs and 43 points. 391 yards, 29 points to the Giants. And in week one to the Chargers, 424 yards, 27 first downs, 14 of 19 on third downs. Terrible. And an observation from the Chargers win, they picked off Mahomes twice. They weren't touched either time when the player went down to the field. Why'd they not get up and try to gain yards?
I don't know. Wow, that first interception was incredible.
It really was. I was baffled by that. Mm-hmm. You can get up in the NFL and run. Neither guy tried to do it. And again, the Pittsburgh offense is just so bad right now. As you pointed out, Najee Harris, 19 targets, 14 catches. That tells you all you need to know.
Huh.
The ugly, everything about that attempted flea flicker from Jacksonville was bad. The Bears-Browns box score, no hyperbole. Some of the worst stats I've ever seen from an NFL team. Here you go. Time of possession. Browns, 39 minutes, 34 seconds. Bears, 20 minutes. Total yards, Browns, 418 to 47. Passing yards, 203 to 1. Rushing yards, 215 to 46. First downs, 26 to 6. Third downs, the Bears were 1 for 11. And Justin Fields was sacked 9 times.
Embarrassing.
Are the Jets and Jags maybe as bad as they were last year? And then I saw this on Twitter in college football. Vanderbilt got absolutely just dusted by Georgia this weekend. A Vandy fan started an overrated chant when Georgia scored to go up 55-0.
Yeah, sure.
You got to love it.
Absolutely. Very good. Excellent. Yep. My good again. KC, Seattle, Pittsburgh, and Indy in last place, and three of them. I mean, I think three of them could miss the playoffs and will miss the playoffs. Arkansas, 4-0 and ranked in the top 10. Pittman doing a great job. They held A&M to 270 yards. Great job by Arkansas to win that game and a misleading score that they totally dominated. Texas San Antonio wins. They go to 4-0. They play UNLV. They'll be 5-0 next week. They're down 21-0 and come back to beat Memphis. And I got to put the St. Louis Cardinals in there too. One base. 16 in a row.
Yeah.
Went over their win total. This thing's over. For all you people out there who grab 7, 8, 10, 12 to 1 to win the wild card in the National League, they're probably going to see Scherzer and the Dodgers. But 16 in a row, they're going to keep this going. And then, the new faces and upsets in college football. Kenny White talked about it last Monday, about we're going to see a record number of upsets. More on that coming up. But our friend Tony had a good point. But the people who are sick and tired of Alabama and Clemson, you don't have to worry about Clemson.
No, no.
But I can see how this is going already. I'm sick and tired of Oklahoma and Notre Dame, though, in the big games, because they never compete. And Notre Dame keeps pulling the rabbit out of their hat. Which leads me to the bad with the media and the voters. Who thought Wisconsin was good? And who thought Mertz had played well in two games in his career at college? And we wanted to crown him and put him in the top 15 after the Penn State debacle. They blew that game. And Notre Dame has 240 yards, and they blow him out as Mertz throws four picks, two pick sixes in the final 230. 31 unanswered points by Notre Dame. And your boy, Christ. Seven straight losses to ranked teams.
Sure.
For Wisconsin.
I'll give you the best stat of the weekend, Paulie. College or the NFL. Wisconsin outgained Notre Dame 110-60 in the fourth quarter. Notre Dame outscored them 31-3.
There you go. That is gold. Oh, God.
So think about it. But Paul, it wasn't just about the rankings in college football, the media or the coaches. I mean, they were 6.5-point favorites.
That's right.
So the betting market told you that they were, and this is to Mike Palm's point, our buddy who comes in every single Thursday from here at Circa, the Golden Gate in the D, downtown Las Vegas. He said last week, this is the true definition of a neutral site game. Equidistance, right, from where they play in Madison and also South Bend. It's at Soldier Field. Two great fan bases. So you're telling me if this game was in South Bend, Wisconsin would have been a 3.5-point favorite. That doesn't make any sense anywhere. And yet, I mean, people bet Wisconsin up from 5.5 to 6.5.
It was a coaching mismatch, as I said Friday. Good job by you. Yep. Florida State loses again. They're 0-4. Clemson offense. What is that? Great call by Dan Orlovsky, who's been saying it for years, that the scheme stinks with Clemson. And Kansas City defense, they have allowed 30, 29, and 36 points so far. Plenty of ugly. You mentioned the Bears. Washington defense, they've allowed 43, 29, and 20 points. Giving up 29 to Danny Dimes at home. And then what Allen did. And Ohio. They play Akron. It's a toilet bowl coming up. Ohio's 0-4. They got routed by Northwestern on Saturday. Blown out by Louisiana. Lost as a 28-point favorite at home to Duquesne. And Syracuse beat them by 20. And once again, it happened. This Nebraska special teams. What is going on, Frost? Fix this. It's every week. Come on. They dominated Michigan State. The yards were 450 to 250. Sparty was 1 of 11 on third down. Nebraska leads late, and there's your damn punt return.
Yep.
And then, of course, the interception in overtime. Missed extra points. Shank punts. Punt returns. Kickoff returns. Every week, Nebraska special teams.
And I'm sorry, but if Michigan State would have scored a touchdown in overtime to win that game,
vicious beat.
That would have been one of the beats of the weekend.
And like the Raider game. I thought the Raiders were going to punch it in.
Well, so did I.
On the third possession of overtime.
The Raiders-Dolphins game, believe it or not, was one of the most popular bet games. I think it was the second most at some books yesterday and one of the most popular bet games of the entire year so far. How about that?
Yeah, I got another one. Last one, Kingsbury. You can't do that, Kingsbury. You can't. This isn't Denver. You can't try a 68-yard field goal before halftime in Jacksonville because you know that could happen. Now, the one guy whiffed on the tackle, but the guy has a convoy and he's going against fat linemen. Mm-hmm. You can't try a 68-yard. I guess what, Prater hit the net last week from 62?
Yeah.
Did it hit the net?
Yeah, so in theory, he can make it from 65, 70 yards.
That's coaching malpractice. Yeah. They're lucky they won the game, but that, you can't do that.
By the way, this is from going back to the Lions-Ravens finish from referee Scott Novak, who was on the game. Asked after the game, do you know if the TV play clock is representative of what the stadium play clock is in these situations? Quote, I don't know if they're synced up or not, but as far as our mechanics, the back judge is looking at the play clock, and if it were to hit zero, he sees the zero, and then he looks to see if the ball is being snapped. If the ball is being snapped, we're going to let the play go. If it's not moving, it's delay of game. End of quote.
Okay. More ugly. 330,000, 49ers money line. A better here put 400,000 on Lions first half. Loser. 400,000, Seahawks money line. 110,000 on Wyoming, lane 31. They're lucky they won the game.
Very lucky.
Yep.
Against
someone did have 200,000 on Nebraska plus the points, which got there.
All right, if you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. Bet Rivers has launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. The Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh CityCasts are up and running with 5 new episodes each and every single week. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcasts. A weekend recap of the biggest line moves, the upsets. My God, the upsets, especially in college football. And bad beats in something that we like to call win some, lose some. That's coming up next.
Win Some, Lose Some is presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at BetRivers.com.
Rough night?
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night? How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money Looks Back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
All right, let's rumble. What a weekend it was. We start with Winsome. First quarters yesterday, 9-0 to the under in the early games in the NFL. How about that? You don't see that every day. And a lot of them were easy. Tom Brady to have the most passing yards yesterday. He was 12-1. UFC, big tickets, good UFC card. Shevchenko to win in round 4, 11-1. Lawler to win in round 3, 16-1. Oh, God. Davashvili, round 2, plus 850. Knockout, 6-1. Pierce by submission, 15-1. Round 2, 10-1. Turner by submission, 10-1. And here's all the upsets and the money lines in college football. Does anyone want this USC job? Not that they were going to hire Fleck and Matt Campbell anyways. But Minnesota was laying 30 against Bowling Green. They were 25-1 on the money line at most places, 40-1 at the South Point to win the game.
So
Bowling Green wins in Minnesota.
Can we draw a line through Fleck now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, that's going to eliminate him.
And Campbell. Another one.
I can't believe either guy was on the list anyway.
Right. Louisiana Monroe, 12-1 on the money line. Georgia Tech, 6-1. Notre Dame, plus 190. NC State, plus 330. Baylor, plus 210. SMU, plus 320. And how about the near misses? UNLV was 25-1 to beat Fresno. They had a big lead, lost by 8. Connecticut was 24-1. Came down to a 2-point conversion.
Right.
And Georgia State, 18-1 on the money line. They blew it. More on that coming up to the videos. Be part of what we do. Subscribe, VSiN.com for our radio and podcast peeps as well. Get up there. We're all tied in today. Look at this. Hey, well, that's my bed. What are you doing? The little guy, the German Shepherd, says, get off my bed. Is that a beagle? Can't tell. But the German Shepherd says, yeah, I don't want you in my bed. I told you 3 times. That's enough. I don't care whatever it's going to take. I'm going to get you out of here, and I'll dump you over. He finally rolls the dog over and says, I'll take my bed back.
I like it, by the way. That looks like a chocolate chip cookie bed.
Yes. Very. Look at the dog.
Nice and comfy.
What's your problem?
Yeah.
Finally, he goes, no, I told you. It's my bed. That's enough. Keep it rolling.
I want to be comfortable.
Yeah, sure. That's the theme today. And then look at this. I mean, the guy's done. Oh, the little fella.
Look at that guy.
That's a tough weekend. That's what we call it, yeah. A tough weekend. He's completely off the bed because he's sleeping on the floor.
I've never seen a dog do that before.
I know. Look at that. It's a good call.
The hind legs are on the bed, but everything else is on the floor. Uh-huh. He's a pancake.
Must have been a rough week, right? How about bed swap? It's a bed swap here. Okay, the little dog is on the big bed. We have a mix-up here. Oh, no. And the German Shepherd's like, what gives? What is this? He stole my bed. This isn't fair. Look at the size of me. I'm 100 pounds. He took my bed. I don't fit. Incredible. Bad beat, right? Oh. And Paulie does Vegas on Instagram. Lose some. Washington, 9.5 down to 7. Blown out by Buffalo.
I liked him.
Not one, but two.
Ooh.
100, extra zero there. $100,000 bets on Wyoming. Lucky to win the game. They lead the 30 points. North Texas, Louisiana Tech over. 16.5 up to 65. Boise over. 63 up to 69.5. No good. Good call by Brad Powers. Louisiana, Georgia Southern over. 49 up to 55. Texas Tech from 13 down to 9. Oh! Texas could have dropped 90 on them if they wanted.
And Paul Stone liked that total, our buddy, on Thursday last week.
Beautiful call. Auburn from 23 up to 27.5. Should have lost the game at home to Georgia State. Akron from 53 down to 48. They lost 59 to 7. Also lose some. Back to the videos. I mean, we got plenty of these over the weekend. We got all week to do this. We know what's going on at Lowe's and Home Depot with the Christmas decorations already up. I got a good one from Wayne from Hattiesburg. Let's go out here. This is from Alex Morgan, sent this in. My wife was annoyed because I would take pics and send them in to you guys every day, but you did a U-turn to put this up. They put the tree up in September. If you zoom in, they got the Christmas tree up in their home. It's September. What are we doing here? It's still 90 degrees. We've lost our minds. And this is, let's go to Brazil. He was 10 stories high if he was a foot. Look at the snake crossing the road. I mean, if I saw this immediately, I'd move. I'd say, enough of this. Look at the cars. They don't know what to do. They're backing up, and then people, get away from it.
Yeah.
Look at the people taking a picture or filming the damn thing on the highway. Get away from that thing.
Yeah. The last thing on the planet I'm going to do is get closer for a picture. That's a 1,000-to-1 shot. Hey, Mitch, can you go get a little bit closer, please, to take a shot with you and the python or whatever this is, anaconda?
It's enormous.
Nah, I don't want none.
Yeah, that's in Brazil. The snake crossing the road. Get out of there. Bad for the books. Cardinals from 6 up to 8. The Colts-Titans game under. 51 down to 47. Browns-Bears under. 46.5 down to 44. The Bengals from 4.5 down to 3. Eastern Michigan and over. 4.5 up to 7.5 and 59.5 up to 62.5. They won 59 to 21. What a game this was early. Boston College beats Missouri in overtime. Two-point dog went off the favorite. Troy and Monroe under. 58.5 down to 50. 29-16 Monroe, big upset. Nebraska-Michigan State under. 58.5 down to 54. That was a bad beat alert because it went to overtime, but 23-20 final. Iowa State-Baylor over. 43.5 up to 47. Liberty-Syracuse under. 57 down to 53. 24-21 Syracuse. BYU-South Florida over. 51 up to 54.5. That's 35-27. Hawaii over. Hawaii again. Kenny White pointed out how fast they play. 58.5 up to 63. That was 41-21. Army under. Ice cream. Piece of cake. 55.5 down to 48.5. Memphis-San Antonio under. 72.5 down to 66.5. That was 31-29. Duke from 13 up to 16. Routed Kansas. Georgia. Did you see this? This was 35 rip in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. Georgia from 31 up to 37, 62-0. Western Kentucky pick up the three. No problem with San Jose State. And best for last, the bad beats. Lions money line. It's 4th and 19. Okay. And then it becomes a 66-yard field goal. Tucker, the NFL record, and the game winner. That's a double bad beat if you had Lions money line.
Can I give you this on that game?
Sure.
Think about this for 1 second. The Lions win probability, when it was 4th and 19, they were 97% to win the game. Before Tucker attempted the 66-yard field goal, they were 99% plus to win.
I hear you. It was too easy on 4th and 19. I don't understand the defense there. Minnesota, Seattle over 54. It's 21-17 at the half. Seattle had 17 points early in the second quarter. They don't score the rest of the game. Georgia State money line. It was 18-1. They led by 12 in the second half. Auburn blocked the punt for a touchdown, and then with less than a minute, it's 4th and 9. And Auburn throws a touchdown. And also, how about the under? The Auburn pick six put it over.
Yeah, of course it did.
Auburn scores a touchdown on 4th and 9, and then they get a pick six that put the game over 57.5.
The game's dead, Paul. Game's over at 4th and 9.
Clemson under 47 against NC State. NC State for the win at the gun misses a field goal. It goes to overtime, and it falls 48. In goes over. Notre Dame under. That's also bad for the books. Notre Dame under 47.5 down to 43.5. A combined 34 points in the fourth quarter. What, Mertz had the hat trick in the fourth quarter alone, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, right. The Auburn under, terrible. Iowa over 44. It was 21-14 midway through the third quarter. Couldn't get there. And Memphis lane 3. 21-0 at home. They blew a 21-point lead at home to San Antonio,
yep.
And they lost outright.
And by the way, everybody was on San Antonio.
Yeah, right. Win Some, Lose Some, presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown book. Claim your 100% first deposit match bonus with code 250MATCH. 250MATCH. Learn more. BetRivers.com. What a weekend.
Yeah. By the way, we will get into the opening numbers for college football and the NFL later on in the program, but that Wisconsin game again, how they were laying 6.5 against Notre Dame, they're no good.
They're favored against Michigan.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
this power rating is wrong.
It's bizarre to me. It really is. But college football so far, that's a great call by Kenny White. And by the way, Kenny White's a longtime sports bettor. He's coming on with us every single Monday. Been doing this for a long, long time. He said this now, and he's been saying this since August because of all the sixth-year seniors and how much experience is in with all these rosters across the country. He's been saying this is going to be the best season ever in college football. It reminds me of 2007. That was the year that South Florida at one point got ranked as high as number 2.
It could be.
2007 was okay. Bonkers nuts, yeah. Off the rails.
Clemson was minus 2,000. Risk 2,000 to win 100 before the season to win their division.
Yeah.
NC State's got to lose twice now. I mean, Clemson needs to win out and get a lot of help. If that's Clemson was as high as $8 to win the ACC.
Yes, they were.
$8.
I'll give you another one, too. I bet Iowa when they were going to beat Iowa State a couple weeks ago at 200-1 to win the national title. I think they might lose 3 times in the regular season.
Oh, bite your tongue.
They might lose on Friday night.
Oh, no. Iowa's nasty. They're going to beat Maryland. Nasty defense.
That's fine. Overall, the offense stinks.
Yeah.
That ticket has no chance. First hour, Follow the Money, presented exclusively by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Get a 100% first deposit match bonus now with the code 250MATCH. Must be 21+. Offer is not valid in all areas. Check BetRivers.com for full offer details. And rules, longtime NFL executive, Super Bowl winner, and VSiN host Michael Lombardi will join the show coming up next. We will get into Justin Fields and what we saw with him yesterday, and how concerned should bettors be with the Chiefs on defense.